Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. And Stephanie, roll call, please.
Joyce Dill.
Here.
Phil Crime.
Here.
Elaine Plint, oops. Mike Smith. Sue Suter.
Here.
Who am I missing?
Deb Roche.
Here.
Okay.
I have an old sheet here, sorry.
Okay, and we want to welcome the Mental Health Board members that are here. I know it's been a long evening so far and our community. Are there any additions to the agenda? Okay. We'll open this up to citizen input.
Thanks, Mark.
Do we have any input from citizens? Okay. Dolores, any Mental Health Board input? Or Peter?
No.
Or Mark? Well,
I think you guys have seen it all.
Nothing to add.
Dolores had all the heavy lifting tonight. This is easy. Okay, so we have the minutes from the Mental Health Board, the last one, included in the packet. Is there a motion to approve the DD Board minutes from July 23rd?
Motion.
Okay, Deb. Deb? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. President's comments. I just want to thank, I think they've all left. I just want to thank again the evaluation committee members for the work that they did on the proposals for the SILA. It was a lot of work and a lot of thoughtful thinking. And I think in addition to our board members and our staff members that served on the evaluation committee, the input from the community and from families was invaluable. And I just found it very, very illuminating. And I think it's very exciting. I think we're going to get some additional, obviously, living arrangements in Champaign County. And I think that it's always fun to have some new creative kinds of things. So I want to thank the evaluation committee. So right now that would be Deb and Dolores. Peter, Executive Committee report.
The only thing that I wanted to, I too wanted to thank the committee, and I really wanted to thank both boards. I know that there was, you know, some controversy and some disagreement, but it was, you know, I think it was, you know, we came out of it stronger, I think. And I also wanted to just highlight something that Mark Doyle was talking about, and that's some of the changes that are really on the horizon, which we have been talking about. The IDD system is changing rapidly, and for that reason, one of our staff, Lynn Canfield, is going to be going to Atlanta, Georgia in October to attend a NACBED meeting, which is focused on IDD. And so we will have all of the up-to-date information about what's going on with the CMS rule changes and the 1115 waiver and all of, you know, basically everything that's going on. So thank you, Lynn, for taking the time to do that.
I hope I can hold it on. There is a lot.
Okay. Any questions, Peter? Okay, thanks, Peter. Lynn, staff report.
There's not much to add. I think since I wrote the report, we've had a few conversations about PASS and PUNS, and almost every day there's a question about one or the other of those. So those seem to be pretty hot issues, and I think maybe I can put something a little more detailed together in the next packet.
Okay. This is a time to add, too. As you've noticed, we've changed the time of our DD board meetings from the morning to the evening. Hopefully, that'll make it easier for individuals to come and attend the meetings and community members and families. So I want to thank all of you for being here tonight, too. Agency information. Are there reports from agencies or updates? Okay.
Since you didn't mention the president's comments, just really quickly, I'll be loud. Next month is the, we're going to do the study session for the employment first.
You need to turn on the microphone.
November.
Never mind.
But.
Never mind.
Okay, that was a tease. I won't elaborate on that. Good job, Patty. Barb, while, you know, agency information, while I'm thinking about it, I know you're not technically an agency, but I think you had some comments on just the posters and the expo material.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, don't leave here without taking the poster and your brochures for the expo.
Sorry, Barb, I should add, you can do that.
Okay, sorry about that. I just wanted to let folks know we have these beautiful posters and brochures. We want to get them out everywhere, anywhere and everywhere in the community to let folks know, and outside of our community as well. If you go to meetings and you have an opportunity to, you know, pass out some brochures and such, please do so. It really helps. The more people see these, the more apt they are to come and join us for the expo. So.
Yeah, that's great, Barb. And you've got them here tonight?
They're right here, and I have more in the car.
Oh, right there. Okay, great. So anybody that can help with that would be great.
I just wanted to add, with the Down Syndrome Networks, we're doing our Buddy Walk in October 11th. So that's we're having a big event there. It's at the county fairgrounds, and it's looking to be a pretty big event. And we're actually having a meet and greet we're actually having two we have a guy that's in this movie, the Produce movie. The star of the movie is going to be here. He's going to be our special speaker. And then we're also having another guy named, well, that's David DeSantis is his name. He's in the movie Produce. And then also we're having Mike Bush and the All-Stars, which is a band, and a guy with Down Syndrome from Louisville. He has a band, and they're going to be our entertainment. So we're getting a lot of really cool things going on with that. So just looking forward to everybody coming out for the Buddy Walk. We're going to have a meet and greet the night before at Meadowbrook Community Church in Champaign to be able to, if anybody wants to come out for the meet and greet the night before, we're going to try and invite the local media to come out and meet them and interview them and stuff like that. So lots of stuff going on that weekend.
Thank you.
We really thank you for telling us about the movie Produce, and we have passed that on to the Roger Ebert Film Festival people. We don't know if they're going to select the film. But some of us, I mean, it sounds like a wonderful film, and having worked in a produce department of a grocery store myself, you know, Julian, you didn't work in the produce, though, did you? You were grocery.
Doing food and soda.
Good combination.
But thank you. And anytime people hear of good movies that relate to, you know, that help us with the stigma issue, that would be wonderful.
Thank you. Any other comments or updates? Okay, financial report, approval of claims. We have to, do we have to have a motion first?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the claims report?
So moved.
I second.
Discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Okay, new business. We're going to change the order just a little bit. We have to vote on the Scylla expansion, as the Community Mental Health Board did. The recommendation from the evaluation committee, and then we're going to go from A, which is that issue, and then go down to D to vote on the intergovernmental agreement, which is included, which I think Peter handed out, and it's also in the packet. So for those of you who weren't here, the evaluation committee and then the mental health board voted on IAG to do the Scylla expansion in Champaign County, and we as a DD board have to vote on that. Is there a motion to accept the, do I need to read the motion, Peter?
Yeah, I'll.
Oh, good.
If I may. I understand that there has been some discussion before, and we saw the outcome of the recommendation of the committee. So I'd like to move to approve the recommendation of the Silla Expansion Evaluation Committee to enter into an agreement with IAG to expand Silla capacity in Champaign County in accordance with the specifications of the request for proposal 2014-001.
Very good.
Basically, I'm moving that we accept that recommendation, which, by the way, was unanimous in the committee, as reported in the Mental Health Board meeting a few minutes ago.
Thanks, Phil. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? No? Okay. Let's have a vote. All those in favor?
No, it has to be roll call.
Oh, local. Okay. Roll call.
Sue Sutter?
Yes.
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 Then we're going to go to the motion passed. Then we're going to go to D on the agenda, and that's the addendum to the intergovernmental agreement, which is between the Mental Health Board and the DD Board, based on the Silla expansion, and the two boards working together on that. And the addendum is included in the packet. And we just need a voice vote, correct? Yeah, we just need a voice vote on that.
Well, first, I would move to accept the addendum as written, as submitted here.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passed. And again, thank you, Dolores and the Mental Health Board, for working with us on that. And we look forward to working with you on that.
Same
here. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is a draft of the three-year plan for the DD Board. This is familiar to most of you. It's an updated draft. There are some changes in it. And our 2015 objectives. And I know this was on the website. I don't know if people have had a chance to take a look at it and have any comments on it. But we also, in addition to, we can discuss it tonight, in addition to that, we certainly are open to taking comments from the community and obviously the board after tonight. So this is not the only chance that people are going to have to respond to this.
Okay.
I don't know, do we want Peter to walk us through it, or?
I think I have a few questions.
Okay.
I have a few questions.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay, let's go ahead then. And because we don't have to vote on this, do we, Peter?
No, this is the first time through, and it's open to any kind of suggestions or changes the board wants to make. And I'm going to defer to Lynn on answering the questions, because Lynn was the one that wrote this.
Okay. So go ahead, board. Questions?
I'll start out with one. And okay. On page 5. Objective number 3, one of the things that I noticed in it is that it says shift funding from segregated centers and programs by funding and encouraging community integration for all work and work preparation activities. I am concerned that we need to, rather than shifting at this point, I think what we need to do is work together with everyone to, because I'm concerned that some people are going to be left behind. There are people that, with developmental training, who really, I mean, let's face it, they are probably not going to leave that particular program. So I don't like the idea, I don't like the wording, I guess, to shift funding. I'm not certain that we want to leave that in there. That's just a...
Do you have a proposal, a suggested change?
No, I just saw it there, and I'm a little concerned about that.
That might be a little strong.
Yeah.
Well, from...
We still have, Wilson, we haven't shared this with, all three of these have done. So we have yet to share it with stakeholders, and they have, last year, we got such healthy input from many stakeholders, like...
Thank you.
Family, there were a number of family members who helped us to do exactly what you're talking about, like to move the language around a little bit, like this may not be exactly what we mean.
Yeah.
So if you want to think about it and send me an email with different ideas for language, that's also the kind of thing that I expect to get back once we distribute it to stakeholders.
Sure.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
And on objective 5, actually, I looked at the old one that is crossed out, and I just have a statement about that. I think we should be looking at, we need to remember that one thing we really need to advocate for is raising those state rates. So I don't want to take that out totally. We do need to advocate
for
that.
Well, this one talks about the delays, which that... For a while, delayed payments were not a problem, but we hear that they're coming back.
Yeah.
So we were taking it out because the focus was on delayed payment, but maybe this is another one to leave in, but to refine it a little bit
right.
more for the present situation.
Yeah,
is that
I'd be happy about that because we need to advocate for those state rates and raising the rates. Mm-hmm. All of us need to do that.
Okay.
On the objective 3-2, Joyce, that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give away the tease, but we do have a group working on employment first, and
yes.
I think probably their draft will help on that objective too.
Yeah, just the word shift funding and all work.
Yeah,
really, kind of limit you. So
okay.
When I read that objective, I. Wrote a statement that, you know, we should, in addition to encouraging competitive employment, support efforts not only for competitive employment, but for meaningful and purposeful day experiences for individuals across the spectrum of need who are obviously never going to be employed competitively. You know, so we just, like Joyce said, so that we include all individuals.
That's good work.
And Deb, you'll submit that wording?
Sure.
Too?
I'm not sure that I got it exactly right.
Well, we'll tweak it and send it.
Because that's one of the best meaningful day experiences. That's one of the best
mm-hmm.
Wordings I've heard, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? I know people are going to take time to go through this. Please submit comments to Lynn.
Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
On page 7, I know that this is really a question more than anything else. When we fund a program down in objective 3, it says at the discretion of our board, agencies shall provide a full listing of a full part-time and contractual employees on a quarterly basis. And I guess my question is, are we really involved with staffing? Is that something that I guess I don't understand why that's...
Most of the proposals that we get, staffing is a huge part of it. And so we ask all agencies to identify the staff that are tied to specific contracts. And, we need a staffing matrix. I mean, this is not an unusual request for a funder.
Okay. We're going to fee for service, right?
We're
in it.
Well,
yeah.
We're kind
so
of.
So if we have fee for service, does that not kind of
you're right.
control
if
that?
You have stay, if you have a pure fee for service,
yeah.
you don't need that other
okay.
information.
Okay. Right? You have only two.
Only two contracts on fee for service at the moment, and we've, in our contract negotiations, kind of agreed that we need to be very careful with those, at, you know, so that we don't, so that they don't become ineffective because of that. So we're kind of working through that before we add anybody else to a fee for service.
Okay.
So this would be relevant for a while longer.
And it's one of our monitoring tools.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and wordsmith, but I assume you mean all program-related staffing changes rather than just all staffing changes? I mean, that's the point here,
yeah,
right,
is all to staffing, evaluate the... all staffing changes that are related to the contract.
Right.
Right.
Which isn't quite what it
and
says
this,
here, but...
This is specific. It is specific to grant-funded contracts.
Contractual.
We can make that change and make sure it's specific to the contract, because you're right. It isn't necessary if we're dealing with a particular contract.
I just have one more area that I was a little bit concerned about under Goal 5, Objective 3, where we're talking about tracking Illinois Department of Human Services Division of the DV Funds database for state and local trends. I'd like to see some type of language that shows that we support efforts to improve the funds list in whatever way possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, specifically eligibility determination prior to placement mm-hmm. on the list, which is something in the pipeline now, right? And more thorough database or more thorough data intake methods that coordinate with person-centered plans so that the wishes and interests and needs of each individual are more truly considered.
I did not catch all those words.
That's okay. I'll email you.
Okay.
That, in light of what Deb said, too, I want to remind people that Lynn included in our packet the first form, the eligibility. I don't have it right in front of me, but the eligibility form that the PASS agents use when they first start working with an individual or a family. And I was surprised at the, I was thinking person-centered planning. I was surprised at the lack of individual information that's on the form. So that was just interesting to me, and it's in the packet. I was thinking that one of the things we could do as a board, perhaps, in informing our priorities and our funding is look at what we're learning off the forms that the PASS agent uses to look at what an individual's needs are. And that way, that helps inform us about what services and supports are needed. However, you wouldn't get that really much off the form that's used now. But they are, isn't the state, Lynn, looking at revising that form?
This form is just for eligibility determination.
Okay.
I don't think it's changing, and the value of that form is so that we can become familiar with what it means to be eligible for DD services through DHS, because there has been a lot of confusion about that, and it is in your funding guidelines and bylaws that this is the eligibility process. So that's just there as a reminder. They were talking about all kinds of forms, central intake,
okay.
the LIGIS, the, you know, what's basically the wish list,
yeah,
the
right.
LIGIS transition plan.
Right.
We
okay.
could, we can view those forms on the DHS DD website. I could include those in the next packet if you're interested. But what we hope to know by the next meeting is what these work recommendations are going to be regarding those very forms.
Okay, thank you. And Lynn, I'd like to see those, if you could include those, because I just like to see what we're finding out about individuals and family needs. I think that's interesting to know what questions. I'm not familiar with, but particularly the wish list one. Any other, yeah, Patty?
It sounds like maybe Lynn is kind of staying on top of this, but just in terms of the Life Choices Project, mm-hmm. October 22nd is going to be when they're going to be presenting their recommendations for several of the teams, which include PUNS and intake and the quality, like the visiting form and monitoring form. So there's a lot of activity happening. So as far as forms, right now they would be in draft if there's anything on there, but maybe by November or something, there would be something, I think, a little bit more concrete worth sharing.
Okay.
So that might be something. I mean, right now it would be a very preliminary draft, I think. So okay. Just a thought.
Yeah, let's wait. That's a good. Patty, are you on that work? These are the six state work groups from the administration on DD that
yes.
we're referring to, Life Choices?
Yes.
You're on which?
The quality committee for that, which is right now what we're doing is revising the visiting notes and looking at what kind of supports and questionnaire and things that should be asked. We're concentrating on intake for people that are being newly eligible for PUNS, those that are waiting for services, and then those that are enrolled in a waiver service. So there's kind of three tiers to what we would be looking at with the visiting notes, but also looking at recommendations that are coming from some of the other teams. And we will be meeting, September 30th is kind of the target date, and then that recommendation or that summary that's being presented to the steering committee happens at the end of October.
The business process team goes last because they're costing each piece out.
Yes.
So that we can't expect to see that on the DHS website till the end of October at the earliest.
I will tell you that Team 5 and Team 6, which I'm on Team 5, mm-hmm. and there's a guy that's on both teams, both found out today that October 22nd we're supposed to present on that. So we have our meeting September 30th and are hoping to finalize things. But
for us
then
to
it's
be
just,
able to freely access it is a question mark then.
Well, it would be draft form, anything that you see right now anyway. So I think the final recommendations happen at the end of October. So, and then I hope that there would be a time frame attached to that in terms of implementation and what that might look like. So it would be timely in a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had a conversation with Darlene Kleppel about some of that work and felt like some of those ideas really were appealing, mm-hmm. right? There are things that we've been talking about for a long time here, so.
And the timing of the work group releasing the recommendations, I think is something that we as a board are going to want to pay attention to and take a look at. And like, for instance, the work group you're on, Patty, you might walk us through that recommendation. Darlene chairs the work group that's doing the PASS recommendations. I know Deb is interested in that. So I think when those recommendations come out, the timing is going to be good for when we as a board look at our priorities in November, when we start looking at our priorities, that we look at some of those recommendations. Thanks, Patty. Any more comments on the plan? Okay, and as we talked about, this is a continuous process, a living document. And so please, community members and board, if you've got some concerns or some changes, please don't hesitate to get those into Lynn and Peter. Any other discussion or questions? I was interested, this is C on the agenda, priorities for pre-planning discussion. I was interested as a board just to sort of touch base with different board members and with community members in terms of the issues that people might want to see us look at over the next year. But something doable, not 20 priorities. And I know that we have our list of priorities, or we have our document, we have our three-year plan, and then we have our funding priorities. Then I think this year we're going to want to pay attention to what's happening with CILA, with our new expanded CILAs, and also employment first. the group that's working on that is doing a really good job of some action-oriented kinds of things. So I think, in my mind, that's a lot for us to stay on top of. But I was also interested in what some of community members and board members, if there are any outstanding issues that we wanted to tackle. When I talked to board members about sort of the role of the DD board, obviously it's invest in community services, but then it was also brought up stewardship, partnerships with other community organizations. So some of the issues that were brought up to me, and I just have a list, are transportation, leadership development, long-term care services, housing, this doesn't surprise anybody, staffing, that's a big one. But I thought maybe we could take one of those issues on to look at over the next year and make some progress on. And one of the issues that seemed to be of interest to board members and some community members is transportation. And I know Phil had some issues with that and some ideas in terms of maybe as a board and partnership, we could work on that over the next year. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do have some comments, and if you'll forgive me, I'm going to back up a little bit. It seems to me that there really are four kind of broad areas that need to come together to effectively support community employment. One of them, of course, is housing, the SILA thing that we are working on. Another is transportation, and I'll make some more comments on that in a few moments. A third one would be long-term job supports, which certainly we have been working with some of the providers to try and get those things together. And I think the fourth one that keeps coming back, and I hear about this more and more, is expectations. I think we need to get past the, you know, can people in the DD community participate in community employment? I think that's the wrong question. I think the question has to be, how can they participate in community employment? We've got to find the opportunities that will work for these kinds of folks. I think there's a lot more possibilities than we give each other and our kids and the people in the community credit for, I think. But back to transportation, I think that there is a lot of opportunity in this community because we have an excellent mass transit district that has been innovative in a lot of different arenas. And of course, we're all very familiar with kind of the regular bus service, and I think we're also familiar with the paratransit sort of thing. But I think the way that has really been set up is more about sort of basic mobility, getting people to the grocery and letting them move around the community, versus actually holding down a job and meeting a specific schedule and, you know, having to be every place every morning at a specific place at 7:50 a.m. or something like that. I think as we move more and more to community employment, we probably ought to begin interacting with a board like the MTD and say, what creative ideas can we come up with, either to help people in the DD community more effectively use regular MTD transportation, or are there alternatives that can allow for sort of that routine day-to-day commitment that one needs to be effectively employed in the community versus the more one-off kinds of services that we have in place right now. But I think this is one where maybe a little bit of a study session, some interaction could probably generate some good ideas that we can look at going forward. I don't think we have to reinvent this sort of thing. I'm sure there's some good ideas out there, but I think what we have now, my experience at least, is that it doesn't meet that kind of a need. People are finding that they're more driven by their transportation schedule than a work schedule and have to be trying to plan for an hour and a half kinds of windows, and you know, you can't do routine community employment with that sort of thing going on.
Any discussion from the board members, the community? Mike?
Have they done a presentation to the county board yet about their preliminary report? for the long-range transportation planning?
No.
It's, that presentation is on tour currently, and I saw it yesterday. I would like to get the PowerPoint and share it with all of you, because it's, I think the PowerPoint does a fine job of presenting all the information, and they are accepting public comment on this preliminary report all through October. And I think you'll see some of your concerns reflected in there, which, so it might be nice to get in there and say, yes, us too. I'll try to provide that as soon as I get it. The lady at RPC was going to send it to me as soon as she has it.
That would be great. So what we could do next is look at the PowerPoint, fill other board members. We could take a look at the PowerPoint, and that would give us a start on maybe talking to the board about some of our employment stuff. Does that make sense? Depending on the PowerPoint, and because this sounds like a really good opportunity for us to have input into their plan, and like you said, Lynn, support what they're doing too.
And just to add to that, I mean, certainly we can comment as individual members of the public. We may or may not, depending on what we see in that, want to create some kind of a comment as a board.
Great.
And I guess we'd have time for that at our October meeting if we can get to things in time.
Phil, I just had a quick question, and that is, I understand, trying to work with other agencies, but were you also thinking that we should seek proposals from people that are seeking funding from us to come up with some creative ideas for transportation? I know that to some degree we fund some transportation indirectly because some agencies have vans and buses and so forth.
Well, I think the easy answer is yes. But at the same time, again, I think that we've seen a lot of creativity from our own mass transit district, and I think it would be very helpful to brainstorm with them a little bit, see what kinds of ideas they could come up with. Because it may be that they're already thinking of some things in these directions that could be adapted relatively easily. It may be that small changes here and there could help. There may be some things, beyond having to encourage new agencies and other funding mechanisms that could work out. I think we should look at that. But sure.
Gary?
To expand a little bit more on what you asked me, Lynn, we currently have an arrangement, we, the county board, have an arrangement grant-driven with Chris out of Danville. That arrangement's going to come to end, and we're in the process of starting up our own system through the RPC, and this COOTS may be part of what you're talking about, the presentation. We don't know how it's all going to be. We will be working through MTD as well, and primarily for the rural areas, and how that will help this situation here that you speak of. I think it should help it some. May not be the total answer, but it's a work in progress, and I think that if grant funds hold up, we'll probably be able to give some relief for a while anyway. Thank you.
Sounds like good timing to be working on this issue. Any comments? Barb?
Yes, if I could please. I don't know if folks are aware, but the Quality Limo and Transportation, they used to be Quality Limo and Taxi. we've been partnering with them with the expo, but they have applied for, I don't know, a certification or whatever, to provide transportation for Medicare and Medicaid. I guess they put recipients, they put in an application like this past April, still are waiting to hear back, but they are a paratransit. They've actually dropped taxi services and are specifically for, they kept their limo business, but they're specifically doing paratransit. They have the accessible van. they are actually, you know, once they're approved, are ready to go with purchasing additional vans so that they can provide more transportation to those who need it in the community. You know, whether, you know, they have, you know, specifically for persons with whatever type of disability. So they're kind of in the process of working through that. Very excited about, you know, addressing this particular issue, so.
Thanks, Barb. Any more discussion or comment on that? Okay, obviously we'll be addressing that and talking some more about that as a board. Next item is old business. Barb, you can come back to the microphone. And Barb can tell us, I think, probably not only days, but hours until
well,
the expo.
Not quite, but 4.5 weeks, roughly. Yeah, it's coming fast. You have my written report, but just, you know, additionally, of our 80-plus exhibitors that we have registered now, 25% of them are not for our for-profit, they're for-profit entities, which has helped us, you know, bring in some additional funds. We have started real strong with our getting ready to start with our promotional activities. Actually, we're starting with our posters and brochures, and I again urge folks to please take as many as you want, and if, you know, contact me and I'll get you more. We are going to have radio spots and TV spots that will, PSA type things, that will start 2 weeks, I believe, before the expo. We have the radio spots have been taped already by Jim Mayer and Gene Driscoll. So I think that's gonna, you know, be really good. That was very helpful last year. As I mentioned in my report, quality limo and transportation has taken on the entire task of dealing with our yard signs this year. So I'm really excited about that, and I know a lot of other people are as well. We have the window clings on our cars now, and in fact, this transportation company has also put it on all of their vehicles. So, and I saw them on the buses this morning.
Yay.
They're out there. And actually, they do get a lot of attention. The window clings, I got out of my car in a parking lot the other day, and there was a lady standing behind my car, and I wasn't quite sure what she was doing, but she was taking a picture of the window cling because she wanted to share the information with her son. She didn't have a pen on her or anything. She wanted, so anyway, who is a veteran and has, you know, some multiple disabilities. So so it's getting out there. Our entertainment is all set. Our classical pianist, who is Chris Herrera, and Rod Sickler are both going to do kind of, they're going to play during the, you know, it'll musical stuff during the expo, but they're also going to have an anti-stigma message that they are going to share with folks, and I think that will be a strong message that will be really good. The resource book is in process and coming along well. We've been getting ads in and lots going on with that. The Pride Room is, we're working on that. We have 13-plus vendors in there so far, and I anticipate that will increase as well. So that's it.
Thanks, Barb. Any questions? People, again, are really working hard on this. Okay, any other, any board announcements? Any other issues? Everybody, it's been a long, okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And I'd be sure and point out to Mike Smith that we had this meeting in an hour, because that was his challenge to me. Thank you, everybody. I know it's been a long day.